Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Today was some tragic, very bad news. A two-year-old, just this morning, two-year-old boy has lost his life as a result of gunplay with some adults where they were in the room. We got a call about 6:46 a.m. about a gunshot victim. This location was at the Pines at Warrington apartment complex. The reports as we have it are an individual by the name of Quentin White has been visiting the child's mother. Quentin White also had in his possession a handgun in which he was showing to the victim's mother. The victim's mother asked him to put the gun away because she was not comfortable with that weapon. And while he was putting that gun away, according to the reports, a single shot went off and it struck the two-year-old boy.
There's no explanation of what happened with this child when you have a deceased toddler that is ever going to make it better or make you feel like you understand the world any better. But this just absolutely senseless accidental shooting of a child by somebody who shouldn't have had a gun because he was a former felon. And he's showing a gun, what, off? To this woman who doesn't like it, tells him to put it away, and in the process of putting it away, shoots and kills her child.
The two-year-old boy was rushed to the hospital where he was pronounced deceased. Quentin White, on the other hand, fled the scene and had to be apprehended with the assistance of the Pensacola Police Department.
Now, he runs away. Like, his first instinct is not to help the child, not to comfort the mother, but to run away because he knows he's a felon.
Right now, Quentin White has been charged with manslaughter with a weapon and also possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. We all mourn the loss of this two-year-old and the fact that it is just so senseless, so tragic, clearly heartbreaking. And then to know that this individual that we believe committed this crime, Quentin White, decided not to stay. He didn't give aid. He didn't comfort the mother of the child. He fled. It took law enforcement for the Pensacola Police Department to capture him, to place him under arrest, and then for us to be able to bring him here and then ultimately charge him with manslaughter with a weapon.
You know, and the sheriff even said, like, accidents happen. And accidents do happen. They happen more when you're irresponsible in your gun ownership. And they certainly don't happen if you're a former felon and you do what you're supposed to do and not own a gun. But the running away part, it doesn't specifically make the charges worse. But it's just, you know, be a person, be a human. Just be somebody who's going to help. This is Trey Myers, who is one of the assistant state attorneys who was at the press conference on Friday.
Well, at this point, Mr. White's going to be held without bond and pending his first appearance, which will be tomorrow morning. He's facing the manslaughter with a weapon count. He will face a maximum of 30 years in state prison. The possession of a firearm by convicted felons facing a max of 15 years in state prison.
Damn. 5:13 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. On traffic this weekend, my goodness, did you? I don't know if you drove at all this weekend. We always go for a bike ride. We're currently working on kind of Gulf Breeze is our zone right now. We didn't even go to Gulf Breeze this weekend because we got out to go on Saturday at about noon-ish. And we left and saw the condition of Avalon that had already had, I think, three incidents that day, including one with a motorcyclist. And so we decided, oh, man, we're not even trying to get to Gulf Breeze. I mean, Midway is kind of where we've been, Tiger Point kind of area. We did the city proper several years ago, actually. And so we decided, well, we'll just go to Navarre. And, you know, Davis, I have to chastise myself a little bit. Because what we have said since the bridge, at least what I have said since the bridge has been out, is look at how bad Garçon Point Bridge and Avalon are. Just go to 87. It'd been a while since I drove 87. That is a long way around. That is not a quick, like, oh, well, you know, the bridge is backed up. Remember we had a conversation about would you rather be stuck in traffic or would rather be moving but rather go drive a long way around because I'd rather be going. Oh, but I've forgotten just how long that, you know, 80. you're on 10 going down to 98 and that road just never ends. I mean, you never get there, it seems.
Yeah, and then 87 itself, and thank goodness a lot of the, I think all the construction is done.
Oh, no, it's beautiful now. Oh, it's gorgeous. Yeah, but it's two lanes divided with like 30 feet of siding towards where you have a deer fence. I mean, it's a beautiful road now. Yeah,
nonetheless,
the construction's done.
87 is still a very long road,
and it's still 45 miles an hour in part. I mean, part of that road is 45. It's crazy. Oh, also crazy that one of the Tom Thumbs on 87, 304.
Ooh,
pop the cork, 304. Mm-hmm. Most stations in our area, this was Saturday, have been our, you know, 280s, 270s, that kind of vicinity. But they finally went and jumped over. They were the only one I saw, and they were an outlier, but still 304 at a time. And people were paying. And the other Tom Thumb, the sign was off. You know, they didn't even have it turned on, which, you know, I mean, probably not on purpose, but it was kind of funny. Oh, but then we got down to 98 right at the causeway, you know, the Navarre Causeway. And, you know, traffic was a little bit heavy off of 87, but that didn't seem like all that much to me on a Saturday. But then it was all the way backed up, going east on 98 into the bridge, and then going west into the turn lane to go south onto the bridge from westbound. It was, I don't know, a mile long, 2 miles long. It was extremely long. I couldn't believe how long it was. So traffic, and then there was a wreck on I-10. In the morning with a, which one was that? That was the one where the tractor came apart, the trailer caught on fire and the driver managed to separate his tractor cab from the trailer fire. And then later on that afternoon, 2 or 3, we got stuck behind this one. Some cars off in the middle of the lane right before the first bridge over the water coming back from like the Okaloosa state line, county line. I don't know. I don't know what was going on this weekend. But it just seemed like if it had been a full moon, it wouldn't have surprised anybody. Traffic was terrible. And Avalon was, weirdly, not the beach, apparently, just Avalon. Avalon itself was a total mess. And I don't know if you've seen Channel 3 was doing a brief thing about people who are cutting through, like, a Dolphin in that area, which I believe that's, I didn't look, but I believe that's side streets on Garçon Point proper. You know, people going to the side streets there to get around, just, you know, anything, like they've been doing in Tiger Point, you know, anything to get around this traffic. 5:17 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
I'm sorry, that was the sub-headline. The headline was, Donald Trump launches new blog. That's right, disgraced former fast food spokesman Donald Trump has launched a website called From the Desk of Donald J. Trump, though a more accurate name would be From the Brain Fog of Long-Haul COVID.
So, yeah, of course, not surprising from Colin Jost.
I don't understand why the Republican Party is still betting their entire future on Trump. He turns 75 next month. It's like getting your family an old dog and saying, hey, kids, invest all your emotions in this.
Really? With a sitting president who is himself already 78? I mean, I agree. Trump will be old if he winds up running for re-election. And yeah, I mean, but it's a bit of a, you know, glass houses kind of situation when you're talking about the current president.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who played the short bully in A Christmas Story, signed new restrictive voting laws that limits the locations of drop boxes and new requirements for voting by mail. Wow, since when does Florida care so much about the law? You know, last time I was in Florida, I saw a lady lighting fireworks with a crack pipe. Worst gender reveal ever.
See, you know, I don't mind when they tell a joke that doesn't really have any substance to it. And it's not all that mean either. It's just kind of a general vague Floridaism. So 4-3, if that's the best you can do, you know, 520 or 521 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. Mark?
An oil pipeline preparing to come back online after being shut down Friday because of a cyber attack. Colonial Pipeline Company has already restarted some smaller lines between terminals, but is waiting until it's safe for the main line.
What's weird, we don't, this doesn't feed us. I was watching a map of this, and we're like off this one. But obviously, it will still affect regional demand, and the concern is what it does to our gas prices going forward.
Police in Louisville should never have fired into Breonna Taylor's apartment last year. That's the finding from an investigator with the Louisville Police. His report says it wasn't safe for officers to return gunfire when they burst into her apartment during a botched drug raid. Churchill Downs suspends trainer Bob Baffert, and Medina Spirit could lose the Kentucky Derby title. Baffert making it clear he disputes a positive drug test.
Yesterday, I got the biggest gut punch in racing for something that I didn't do. And this really, it's disturbing. It's an injustice to the horse.
Churchill Downs says if the findings are upheld, Medina Spirit's win will be invalidated, and the second place horse will be declared the winner.
Is that so? What happens then? Like, what about all the people that got paid for betting on Medina Spirit?
Yeah. You can't go back and get money.
So. Yeah, I don't think many winners are going to step up and be like, "Oh, well, here you go, here's my winnings." Yeah.
So all the people
don't think that's happening.
So all the people who bet on the fourth place horse, the one that was the favorite, they're just out. It's over.
Yeah,
too bad.
It won't have any impact on. You know,
yeah.
So the official record will change, right, most likely. Medina Spirit's is going to be DQ'd. Everybody else moves up a spot. And then nobody loses the money they won, and nobody gains the money they would have won. It's just too bad.
Yep. Yeah. Well, and apparently what was in the horse is something, it's like a steroid that is legal.
Right. Legal. Like to a certain point, yeah, right? Like 14 days prior or something.
It couldn't be in the system by race day.
And he's saying they don't even use it. So he's going to run his own blood tests and all this kind of stuff. And he's still, the horse is still scheduled to run, which one's next, Preakness or Belmont?
Preakness.
The Preakness. And he's got another horse in Preakness too, right? I think he's got two horses running next Saturday. So, yep. Weird story. And especially because, you know, everybody, Bob Baffert, you know, he's the king. All right. Oh, and he had a horse that tested positive last year that they appealed and won, I think, was also part of the story here.
Yeah, I know. This is something that he's, like, not new.
Yeah.
Like, he's been caught up in this before.
But they appealed that one, and they were reinstated or whatever, it was dismissed or something. So, all right, Mark, thanks so much for the update. 525 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Are we going to get Wahoos tomorrow? I guess that could be a future news question. I mean, are we actually going to get Wahoos tomorrow?
We're supposed to. I know the weather is supposed to be
a little dicey. Yeah.
Right. We're supposed to.
Fair enough. And you know what? I did not even look. I had a mental note. Hey, check the Ice Flyers like 18 times, and I never did go look. Did we win? Or did we advance or not advance? You didn't look either.
I'm bad. My bad. I need to go check.
You told me on Friday, you said every time the Ice Flyers have a playoff game at home, I always say, I'm going to go. And then you never do. I guess you didn't go.
I did not go.
There you go. All right. Well, I know we had graduations at the Bay Center over the weekend because I was driving through some of that. Yeah. Oh, speaking of which, the I-110 water tower is being painted. I mean, you know, the one that used to have the Blue Angels on the south side, the Blue Angel Classic on the south side, and then the Wings of Gold Cradle of Naval Aviation on the north side. And then they were refurbishing it. And so ECUA originally wanted to just put, you know, ECUA logos up on it. Anyway, so we fought back a little bit on that, and they listened, to their credit. And they did not go with the design I ultimately wanted, but they went with one that I can be happy with. The south, the one that is, when you're driving south on I-110, what you'll see there is, it says, "Welcome to Pensacola," in the blue and teal colors of the city. And then on the south side, and they've started painting that. In fact, it's all up. The Welcome to Pensacola is up. They're just working on the details. There was a guy working on it yesterday, which I thought on a Sunday, Mother's Day. Okay. And then on the south side, it's going to be Home of the Blue Angels in Blue Angels script and colors with a Super Hornet. And that one's, I would say, about 30% done. The western facing, which is going to be the cradle of naval aviation and the Wings of Gold, has not been started yet, but it's starting to look really like, wow, this is going to be great when it gets done. Did you figure it out, Davis?
I did. Uh-oh. So I haven't had an opportunity to see the tower yet, but maybe I'll have an opportunity to see it as I'm driving to the championship series.
Oh, nice.
Coming
here we
up. Go. It doesn't give me an exact date right now, but they did win. Game two.
Can I say their website's not the most helpful?
It's not.
It's not. It's SPHL, please step up, do better. The websites are not that good. So, okay, so they won their series, and now they're moving on to the finals. Is that what you're telling me?
That's right.
I'll take it.
Against the Macon Mayhem.
All right, very good. 527 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, Davis Allen here of News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620, and we're hiring. Right now, we're looking for qualified part-time producers and traffic reporters. Experience in radio is a plus. However, we are ready and willing to train highly motivated individuals for the open positions. For applications or for more information, you can visit newsradio923.com/openings or email your resume to hr@newsradio923.com. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
From my heart and from my hand, why don't people understand my intention?
Here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620, the Garcon Point Bridge toll has been extended another 30 days. Woohoo! It still strikes me as the dumbest thing that we keep doing this 30 days at a time. Plus, everybody wants to know, well, if the bridge opens at just two lanes instead of four lanes, will the Garcon Point toll be lifted or will it stay? The governor has said from the beginning that until that bridge is back to its original full functionality of one span, two lanes in each direction, four lanes total, that the toll would be suspended. But that's all secondhand information. Like, we're getting it from Senator Broxson and Representative Andrade and, you know, Jay. I mean, everybody has said that indirectly. So as far as I expect, yes, the Garcon Point toll, the bridge toll, will still be zero until there are four lanes open on the bridge. And I'm going to say this with all the love in my heart, I can't remember what that is. I just be honest, I'm... Oh, man. I think we're going to get two-lane functionality the end of this month. I don't know when we're going to get four-lane functionality, and, you know, FDOT's being very, very cagey about that. So, also, next hour, we're going to have a chance to talk to David Forte with the City of Pensacola about what should be done with that two lanes when it is open.
I'm Jim Chesko with Your Money Now. Add the car company Stellantis to the list of companies moving to a more flexible work schedule. The former Fiat Chrysler said today it is launching a hybrid work initiative that will have the majority of salaried employees working remotely more than half the time. A Stellantis official told CNBC that the automaker projects that employees will work an average 70% of the time remotely. Melinda Gates is an author, a philanthropist, and a former general manager at Microsoft. And she's also, of course, the soon-to-be ex-wife of Microsoft founder Bill Gates. As they begin divvying up assets, new SEC filings show that she is now among the largest shareholders of companies including Coca-Cola, Canadian National Railway, and Mexico-based Grupo Televisa. And according to Forbes, she is now also officially a billionaire. Despite a disappointing jobs report from April, stocks powered to new highs today. The Dow Industrial's up 229 points. The S&P 500 added 31 for a new high. And the tech-heavy NASDAQ did well, too, rising 119 points. That's Your Money Now.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Today, we send a strong message to the weak establishment in both parties. America First isn't going away. We're going on tour.
Matt Gaetz, Representative Matt Gaetz, appearing with Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene at an event in the Villages on Friday afternoon, and as loud and brash and strident as ever.
On immigration and trade, We will stand with America's workers, not the socialist billionaires or the corporate woketopians. We will oppose the forever wars that send America's bravest patriots to faraway lands for unknowable gain. And we will stand with American families against the genderless, blue-haired woketopians of the Chaz.
I mean, Matt's always got a good turn of phrase, right?
We will not cave to the foreign interests abroad or the special interests here at home. We will put our people first, and we will not make exception for that. And so, if you believe that America is a wonderful country, not an intractably racist country, if you believe that MAGA is patriotic, not deplorable, if you stand for the flag and kneel in prayer, if you want to build America up and not tear her down, then welcome, my fellow patriots. This is the movement for you. You belong with us to help our country to be prosperous and patriotic and unafraid.
It's kind of interesting to watch the crowd reaction to him. I assume a relatively well-vetted crowd, not necessarily just open to the public in the villages. Although the villages is certainly a very pro-Republican area in Florida.
And so this tour.
You know, it's kind of interesting because obviously, you know, Matt has not been on this show for, 6 weeks? Something like that? Ever since the news broke. Like that Monday, we had him on the show as a town hall. That Tuesday was when the reports of the allegations against him, Department of Justice investigation, and of course, you know the story since then, that all broke. He did Tucker Carlson Tuesday night, and he's been in media blackout since then. I keep asking, and they keep saying next week. And, you know, and I ask, and I didn't ask this weekend. I didn't bother, quite frankly. I just didn't on Friday. I typically send an email to one or a text to his scheduler and ask and say, hey, you know, Monday? No, not this Monday. So, which of course, because, you know, I'm going to have to ask him about the stuff because nobody's been able to do an interview about that except Tucker Carlson. You know, I'd frankly rather not, but that is the relevant news hanging over his head over all this time. Still, when Matt gives a speech, Matt knows how to talk about the issues that matter. And, you know, he didn't talk about any of the other stuff, all the allegations that did not come up in the speech at all. But he did talk about various issues of constitutional liberty and the values that, you know, he stands for. This was kind of an odd moment. I can't give you an explanation for why he said this. It almost made, when I heard it, it made me go back and did I miss something in the lead up to this that made this make sense? And I couldn't place it. So I don't know why, but this was dropped in the middle of the speech. You'll hear why I say that it just kind of comes out of nowhere. It's a call to arms without a preface. Okay.
We have a right to bear arms in this country and we better use it. The Second Amendment is not about hunting. It is not about sports shooting. The Second Amendment is about maintaining within the citizenry the ability to maintain an armed rebellion against a tyrannical government if necessary. And you know what? People may not like that. That might not be politically correct, but that is the truth. And oftentimes the truth is politically incorrect.
Now, he's right about that. The history, I mean, the Second Amendment, it is, honestly, it's not about personal defense. It's not about, you know, sport shooting or hunting, even though those are the things that are often used in discussing it. The Second Amendment, he's right. The Second Amendment, if you read it, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. It's the protection of our liberty as a state, right? That's the idea. And, of course, the United States of America, the right of the people to keep bear arms shall not be infringed. It's not about hunting. It's not about sport shooting. It's not even about personal self-defense, although those things might be relevant in the conversation. He's right. It's defense against a foreign and more particularly a domestic tyrannical government. What were the citizens of the late 1700s worried about in America? Tyranny at home, because they had just gotten free from tyranny abroad. So he's right about that, but I still don't know what he's calling for in terms of using the Second Amendment, using that, I guess, to buy and own. I hope that's all he really means. And he talked for a little bit about voter ID and kind of this is a good comparison. I like this.
Now, keep in mind, the very people who are telling you that getting an ID to vote would be racist want to require vaccine passports. So if an ID, if requiring vaccine passports isn't racist, then requiring an ID to vote isn't racist. And I think my colleague Burgess Owens said it best. Burgess Owens is a black Republican, serves from Utah, was in the NFL, tackled OJ. And Burgess says, requiring an ID to vote isn't racist. Assuming that black people can't get an ID is what is racist.
Yeah, I have to agree about that. The built-in premise that black people generally are incapable of getting a voter ID. Like, everybody else does it, why can't they? Is kind of the issue here. And I understand what the other side will say. The critics will say, well, transportation is hard, or the cost of the ID is hard, and I'm not unsympathetic to those concerns. And I think it's easy as folks who are maybe middle class who don't ever question the idea of getting an ID. Of course you have an ID. Of course you have a driver. Of course you probably have a car. You know, these are things that you do as a matter of just living, right? The idea that you would not have an ID is kind of, I mean, what? So is it a hardship for people? Is it difficult for people? Well, there's a certain amount of, but you can, you know, like in Georgia, you can get an ID for free to vote. And why is it that minorities or poor people or both, because unfortunately the categories overlap too much, why is it uniquely difficult for them to get what everybody else is able to get, an ID? You know, the idea that it's too hard for them is a kind of what George W. Bush used to always call the soft bigotry of low expectations, right? 5:45 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. It was an interesting event, I will tell you. And Marjorie Taylor Greene, she spoke for about 40 minutes. And, she said some bizarre things in the past. But if you went just entirely on this speech, and mostly on tweets, but if you went basically on what she said in this speech, very interesting. Much more interesting person than I would have given her credit for. I don't think I'd ever really listened to much of her speaking. But I actually found it kind of interesting what she's been up to and her take on some of the stuff that's been going on in Washington, D.C. around her and around her getting taken off of all these committees and what she's been doing as a result of it. I don't know if I'll have a chance to share any of that with you today, but maybe a different day I'll share some of that with you. Because it's one of these fascinating examples of, hey, here's a person that the entire public is convinced is a total lunatic, outcast, loser. But if you actually take a minute to listen to them, they don't sound quite like the billing would indicate. 5:46 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. Seen the pictures, but the Navy yesterday announced that it had seized an arms shipment. And when you hear that, Davis, I tell you, the Navy seized an arms shipment that was headed for Yemen in the Arabian Sea. What do you picture? Like, what's the haul look like to you?
I actually picture a giant ship with a lot of material.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So this was several hundred rocket-propelled grenade launchers and optical sights for other weapons, and 3,000 Chinese Type 56 assault rifles. That's a variant on the AK-47. And they laid them out on the deck of the ship, and it was the whole front of, you know, the whole front of the bow, of the entire bow was covered in these rifles and these weapons and everything else. And man, good work. They found it down below decks, all wrapped up in some little boat, basically going across the Arabian Sea, headed over. And they basically fed and watered and released the folks who were on the boat. But nice work, Navy. 5:51 on News Radio. Who knows how many? I mean, think about that. 3,000 AKs, essentially. How many people could have been killed by that? That was now thwarted. 5:51 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
Colorado's governor is sending prayers to the families of six people killed at a birthday party over the weekend. The suspect, believed to be a boyfriend of one of the victims, walked into a home and opened fire, then killed himself. None of the children were hurt. Demand for vaccines appears to be dropping nationwide, but many Americans still need their COVID shot. Dr. Anthony Fauci on ABC's This Week on ways to make sure those who are hesitant get vaccinated.
Get trusted messengers, people who they trust, to get to them to convince them why it's important.
Fauci says those messengers can range from athletes and celebrities to local clergy, family doctors, and other family members.
I think at this point you got to pay people. I mean, who is out there waiting for their pastor to suddenly come in and say, now go get it? I mean, who's going to be like, oh, man, I wasn't. LeBron said what? Oh, shoot me. Do it. I mean, it seems like at this point, vaccine hesitators or people who have concerns or don't feel vulnerable, it's going to take something more than just information.
Yep. You're going to have to some sort of incentive.
Yeah, something. Give them a free tank of gas and some sticky buns or something.
Something. In Tennessee, you know, the schools sometimes have to notify parents of dangerous situations. Well, parents of an elementary school in Tennessee had to be notified Friday morning about a loose zebra near the school grounds.
Is that dangerous?
Well, this one was. Putnam County residents were urged not to approach this zebra, who was mad after being tased by law enforcement.
It's funny, but I feel bad for the zebra.
I do, too. That zebra escaped from a truck on its way to an exotic animal showing. It has since been captured and returned. But
who tases a zebra?
Law enforcement.
And how? I mean, that's like you got to get pretty close.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, how do you, you're the deputy and you're like, all right, hold still. Oh, crap. It didn't work.
And just made him mad.
I know. Yep. But a zebra, I mean, what kind of damage does a zebra do? I mean, a zebra is basically just a weird shaped, a weird colored deer. Yep. You know, they're very narrow. They, you know, so, okay. All right. Fair enough, Mark. Thanks so much for the update. Yeah, back to your story about the vaccines. Just for perspective, nationwide, the very top day average that we had was about a month ago, I think. I'm looking at the dates here. Yeah, about a month ago, April 13th or 14th. The highest daily, like the prior 7 days, the number of people that had gotten first shots in the last 7 days was the average daily, okay, was just under 2 million. It was 1,999,185. So at that point a month ago, 2 million people a day were getting a first shot. You follow? So that was the rate of first shot vaccinations. As of, let's see, a week ago, it was 935,000. So it was down 50%. Then it was 877, then 838, 809, 788, 725, 724. So we are now down to under 40% of the peak, 60% down from the peak and declining. Declining nationally, declining locally. It's not that everybody who's going to get a shot has gotten one, but the number of people getting first shot, because, you know, you can't look at second shot because that's a byproduct of what happened a month ago. You got to look at first shot because that's information about how many people are coming into the vaccinated pool. It's just people aren't compared to the number of people who were. And I will tell you, I don't really want to get into talking about this too much today. I am loving being vaccinated. I'm loving it. I'm loving not having to use hand sanitizer in the car after I go into a store and make my hands hurt. I'm loving being able to just breathe freely in the restaurant. Went to Joe Paddy's yesterday, you know, and I know a lot of people in there aren't vaccinated and they weren't wearing masks anyway, but I'm not worried because I have been. You know what I mean? And my son, who hasn't been vaccinated, is wearing a mask. And I'm just telling you, I'm loving it. We went bowling Friday for Junior Achievement at Cordova Lanes, and it was fun just to be out in public, not wearing a mask. My wife hasn't been vaccinated yet. She was wearing a mask. You know, I mean, that's just so that's the reality of it. 550, at least for part of the time she was, you know, because we're in it's an interesting environment. 556 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. Good Good morning, 557 News Radio 923 and AM 1620. Rain, like, it's almost here. There is basically three quarters of Escambia County and a little bit of Santa Rosa County, northwest corner, is covered right now. And it's just about to the city. It'll be here in the next, I don't know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And the storm is coming east from Mobile, as always. And it's a fairly significant one. So we're going to get rain off and on throughout the morning this morning. Hey, you know who Jack Flaherty is, Davis? Jack Flaherty, pitcher for the Cardinals?
Yeah, really good pitcher.
Had a fairly good day on Friday.
Waits for a 2-1 count. Jack is 1-for-10 with a run batted in, 2 walks, and a run scored this year.
You walk that pitcher, you just invite trouble, don't you?
Here's a swing and a high fly ball. Hit to deep left field. Flaherty has just hit a home run. His first major league home run. The Cardinals lead 3-0 in the third inning.
See now, Davis, if you get rid of the pitcher hitting,
amazing how the Cardinals have hit a home run.
You don't get those pitcher moments, those rare pitcher moments where they hit a dinger, first one in the major leagues. And by the way, the Cardinals commentators are all convinced that there's no there will be no pitchers batting next year. They're all convinced the DH is going to be the entire major leagues next year.
See, I'm against that. I think the National League doing what it does, keeping it with the batter or the pitcher being the batter. It's great for the game of baseball.
And I had never thought about this till they had it. He went back in the dugout after hitting the home run, gave him a curtain call. You know, the crowd's going crazy, coming out for his first and probably only home run ever in the major leagues he'll ever hit. If you're a pitcher, you don't get curtain calls. Pitchers never really get curtain calls. You know, because they get cheered when they're walking off the field after a good performance. They don't get to come back out of the dugout, typically, unless they hit a home run. A little bit bad.